400 metres marker. Apache Chase the leader from Sabato at Cell. Running home is Emerald Kingdom down the outside. Weaving through Vega 1 and Tefane down the outside. Victorum runs home as well. And also subpoenaed out deeper. Vega 1, Emerald Kingdom. Tefane's on the outside. Tefane, Vega 1. Tefane, Vega 1 from subpoenaed. Tefane, Vega 1. Flashing late, Mr. Quickie. But Tefane, Tefane's won the straight break from Vega 1. Signore Fox, I think...
Her second Group 1 in excess of $2 million in prize money. And winning trainer Mike Moroney had to do a bit of work with the connections to keep her racing, and he's been well rewarded. Congratulations, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for that, Warren.
Yeah, you had to do a bit of work to maintain her in racing rather than the broodmare sale, I believe. Take us through the scenario there.
Yeah, to a little degree, but it was sort of discussed money with Rupert originally. When we had a few problems with it, we thought the safe thing was between myself and Anthony, my race manager. We decided that the right thing was to suggest they put her in the sale because with mares and having had things go wrong with her, that we were sort of pushing together to where we wanted to, and we also were well aware that some of those mares, when they'd had things go wrong, decided to be mothers rather than race horses. So we thought it was a good backstop. But as we got closer to the making a decision, we had to make a very late one because the race that I'd sort of earmarked to make my decision based around was only about a week before the race, before the sale, sorry. So we had to sort of wait till then, and I was pretty confident that after the BRC sprint that we were right on track. I thought that was one of the better runs when you analyse the whole thing. And I walked away thinking, well, we weren't going to sell. But then the next 24 hours, we had to get it to the sale grounds for a breeding check, etc. The next day, and in the next 24 hours, it was sort of tossed around amongst a few owners, and some did want to sell and some didn't. And so we had 24 hours thrown around, and the last decision was that we would keep her with the numbers sort of swinging that way.
When you saw some of the figures going through the sale for the likes of Arcadia Queen and the like, was there any tinge of regret, or were you happy to go on after that first up run?
Oh, no, we were happy to go on. I think she's always been worth the money, Warren. It was just a matter of whether they take it now or take it later on as far as next season, because she's only lightly raced, and we were just trying to make a decision whether Amir, with her value, whether they had to take the money now, safe to have another crack. So once that decision was made, it's been pretty simple to sort of decide that the decision's been made and that we're putting that behind us and heading towards the racing season.
How did you see the race unfolding yesterday?
I rang Craig the morning of the races, and look, he's so professional. I listened to him during the week, Warren, and he just was spot on about his assessment of the mare, really spot on. Since I heard it, I thought, wow, that is spot on. He's got a down tee. And then when I ran the morning off, as far as we were going to ride him, I was thinking about it and thinking, I know there's good speed on, but rather than being caught wide, I'd rather go forward. And when I asked him what he thought, he said the same. So we're both on the same page. He then sent through this drawing straight away of what he'd scribbled down, where they're all going to be, and he was exactly, he said, after 200 metres, this is where I'm going to be, and he was exactly there. So, he really puts a lot of thought into it, without any doubt, and it was just a great ride. I think he was a little bit worried that when she did over race, off her hot speed, the city had all a bit of trouble stopping her early, when he set her alight on the gate. So, and that's the only little thing that she's been doing wrong in her career, is that to get a bit further, she needs to be able to button all. Probably if you rode a little bit different and rode a quieter, I'm pretty sure she will get further. But he just said to me last night that she did over race off a really hot speed, and he had to just come back that little bit further and take a bit of medicine to get her to relax. So all in all, it was a great victory from the mare. She, I thought as soon as she popped out turning in, it was going to be all over, because when she gets in that position, she hardly gets beaten.
Terrific insight into some of Craig Williams' preparation there. If you can remember back, Mike, to that conversation you referenced earlier in the week when you said he summed her up perfectly, what were one or two of the things that he identified that really gelled with your view of her?
Well, he identified that she was the one to beat in the race. And no matter how I went through the race, even if I didn't train her, I'm looking and thinking, well, she's a weight for age winner against probably one of the best middle-aged fields we've seen around for a long time. And she's dropping back to 54.5 and 60.5 in a race where, if you watched it, nothing went away, and she still had the audacity to flash home late and do that. And he recognised that, and he recognised that she was the best horse in the race, whereas I was listening to a lot of people saying she wasn't in the top four, and I'm going, well, I know I trained her, but I haven't got that wrong. And he gave me a lot of confidence to think that I was on the right page. I listened to him because he actually summed it up exactly how I was thinking.
There's a Group 1 target for the mares in a few weeks up there, the Tats Tiara. Is that a short-term goal as well?
Look, I spoke to Lily this morning. She's pulled up really well because Hangman didn't. He's still very, very scratchy and sore. Some are handling that track and some aren't. There's a few that pulled up pretty rough, but she's pulled up really well so far, so that's the first thing to get through. And we'll hop on her back in a couple of days' time. We'll swim up for a bit and hop on her back and then start flying towards a bit of a decision. But, look, she's up there. It's a Group 1 race. She's fine. My first thoughts are if she stays in really good form, we're happy with her, but we'll probably will run.
The fact that you've kept her in work and now missed that sale, does that mean that another spring beckons for Tafani down the track?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. I really think, Warren, that she would have made $3 million from what people were saying at the sale. She probably would have topped the sale, but it's now my job to make sure that we make the right decision too. So it started off well. If we can win another million or so, and then sell her on at the end of it, well, the job's been done. So, look, there's some nice races we're in the spring. The Mile Mares race at Flemington's won. We could sort of go down that track if we wanted to, and then that probably means we missed the Cox Plate and those sort of races. But if we're going to have a go at 2,000 metres, it might be in the autumn of the big race up in Sydney. But she does race well there, and she loves travelling. So there's a lot to think about. But look, it's a good position to be in.
You've generally enjoyed a bit of time away, Sunshine Coast and Queensland this time of year. COVID's changed that situation for virtually everybody the last couple of years. How are you coping being Melbourne bound?
Yeah, look, I got up there for 10 days. We stayed at Eagle Farm this year because they were renovating the track at Sunshine Coast. But I usually get up there with a team of six horses for the winter, and it's a nice place to be. It's still getting out of bed at 3:30 in the morning, but it's just different scenery, a bit warmer.
What about Old Time Rock in the same colours as Tafane heading to Mornington tomorrow, rain-affected ground second up? How do you think his prospects shape up?
Look, he's improved a lot, Warren, this time round. He's a big, powerful bloke now. Now that we bought him at the sales, he was quite cheap for his breeding, mainly because he was a bit small, but he's not now. A big, powerful bloke. And, look, I think that horse of Scott Cameron's is going to be pretty hard to beat, but our bloke loves wet ground and he's on the improve.
Looking through the ownership group at Tafane yesterday, Mike, some loyal owners, obviously races in Rupert's colours, but the Maddens, Neil Werrett, Wayne Richardson, Kerry Good, some loyal stable clients there involved. Must have been a good day for the team involved.
Yeah, it was. Certainly was, Warren. We've got Brian Dorman, and Brian's been a great supporter too. He's sort of come into racing horses with us now for about the last 5 years, and starting to have a lot of luck too. I think it's about his second or third group winner now, so he's been a big supporter. So it's just great to have the people that have supported me, some for a long time, some for a short time, and they're all great to deal with. They really are. They've like Rupert is, he leaves things to us, and as long as we don't do things totally stupid, and they remind us of that if we do, he's I think that's why Rupert's been successful. No matter what trainer he's had, he's left it to them to do the buying, do the training, and he doesn't really interfere.
Terrific day for the team involved in Tafane. Mike, looking forward to seeing if she does race on in Queensland and definitely in the spring, whether it be in Melbourne or Sydney. Congratulations on yesterday.